Defense Secretary Ash Carter unveiled new plans for the Joint Staff, including a boost in its responsibilities. But will that add to the Defense Department's headquarters staff while Carter pursues his so-called delayering strategy at other offices? The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Marine Corps General Joe Dunford, tried to allay that worry. More now from Federal News Radio, Scott Massioni.
During a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing, Defense Secretary Ash Carter said he wanted to change some things about the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Carter said he wants to expand the role of the Joint Staff into the 21st century. That means making the Joint Staff a sort of aggregator for the combatant commands, the information they acquire, and the resources they need. Here's Carter during the hearing.
One of the things that I am looking at in connection with the so-called Goldwater-Nichols issue is strengthening the role of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the chairman in precisely this way, the trans-regional coordination. We have combatant commanders, they're excellent, but they're focused on particular regions. I look to the chairman, and he does an excellent job of this, of balancing resources and making sure that the different COCOMs are cooperating, both, and that's NORTHCOM and the other combatant commanders.
Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford, went a little more into detail about it.
To be specific, what we did back in November, we asked the Special Operations Command to take the lead, not from a special operations perspective, but because they did have connective tissue in each one of our combatant commands, and they were capable of doing this, to begin the development of a trans-regional terrorism plan and countering violent extremism writ large. We've been working at that now for a couple of months. We most recently had a meeting in the tank on Friday afternoon where I convened the Joint Chiefs and all of our combatant commands to look at this. Critical to that is having a common operational picture and a common intel picture across all of our combatant commands. So that's the first part. The second thing is having an assessment process that integrates what all the combatant commanders see transregionally into a single vision that the Secretary of Defense can see. And then, as the Secretary alluded to at the end of his comments, a process to make recommendations for the prioritization and allocation of resources across all the combatant commands so that, much like we're trying to provide pressure across ISIL in Iraq and Syria, we're trying to do that transregionally at the same time. So we are very focused on that.
Basically, the Defense Department has commands that are in charge of certain areas of the world. There's a European Command, a Pacific Command, and others. There's also functional commands like Special Operations Command and Transportation Command, which are in charge of certain tasks. But when it comes to geographic areas, Carter says threats are no longer isolated to one region. The Office of the Secretary of Defense is where all the information from the combatant commands meets, and Carter needs help prioritizing it and making sense of it. Otherwise, his office would be bogged down with all the information. So Carter wants to expand the role of the Joint Staff to bring together regional information and interpret it for the globe. But the word expansion made some ears perk up. Congress has been trying to fight the growth of staff headquarters in DoD for the past few years, and added responsibilities can sometimes mean bigger staffs and more money. But Dunford, speaking at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, put those fears to rest. Dunford says the Joint Staff will not expand. In fact, they're still trying to trim down.
First of all, no, it doesn't imply a growing of the Joint Staff. What we're focused on is the responsibilities of the Joint Staff, and not even the authorities, but focus specifically on the responsibilities of the chairman, the Joint Staff, and by extension, the chiefs. There are some things that I alluded to that we're doing today that actually are being done in several other places, and where I think the greatest opportunity is for kind of delayering, if you will, is in areas where services now deal with service secretaries and deal with OSD on some of those broader issues. Those are things that the Joint Staff won't do.
Dunford went on to say that the Joint Staff has taken on some honorable tasks, but not ones that it has business in. Here's Dunford again.
For all the right reasons, over the last few years, the Joint Staff has taken on a role in family readiness, wounded warrior care, veterans outreach, those kinds of things. And certainly, as a former service chief and an assistant commandant and other leadership responsibilities, I wouldn't understate the importance of those at all. I just don't think I need to do that on the Joint Staff. Services are more than capable of doing that. And I probably have four or five other examples where, for all the right reasons over the last few years, you know, things have been things have been picked up along the way where the Joint Staff is focused on areas. Some of it has been a result of the personalities of Secretary of Defense and what their expectations were from the leadership. Some of them have been a result of topical issues that leadership wanted to grip. And so we're trying to clean that up now a little bit, and that's why we've tried to stay focused on those areas that I just mentioned.
Statements like that may help grease the wheels of the provision so it can make it into the 2017 Defense Authorization Bill. Last year, the Senate Armed Services Committee held a series of hearings on DOD's headquarters staff. Here's what Arnold Pernero, a Defense Business Board member, had to say about staff size.
The growth in defense infrastructure has been continuous. The tendency has been to add rather than subtract. As we have added more staff, more layers, and more infrastructure, we have slowed the decision process, expanded the number of players, and made the overall system more risk-averse at a time when we need to take more risk and make quicker decisions. If we wait for certainty, we will have waited too long and imperiled our warfighting forces as they continue to decrease. We must distinguish between working hard and working well. And with the fiscal pressures we face, with the strategic challenges erupting all around us, with the operational demands accumulating on the force, we can no longer afford the luxury of a growing imbalance between what we must feel operationally and what we feel managerially. We need to generate more combat power from our military in strength and the fiscal resources associated with it, not less. And today, we are fielding less in what I have called the ever-shrinking fighting force.
Former Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Michelle Flournoy told Congress the Joint Staff has expanded to more than 5,000 employees, and the combatant commanders have grown to more than 38,000 employees. We should know more about the Joint Staff's responsibilities when the Defense Department sends over its defense authorization recommendations to Congress in the near future. In Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.